All right, everyone, welcome in to another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Gino Camilleri, as always, joining you on this fine Thursday, May 16th of the year 2019 edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. I am flying solo today as Lou gets ready to graduate on Saturday, so we'll give him a quick congratulations. He's finishing up his studies at Buffalo State. He is going into communications, as you guys could tell from his excellent part of the Locked On Podcast Network. He's over at ESPN down in New Jersey, too. He's getting his name out there. He's doing good things, so congrats to Lou. But this is the Locked On Eagles podcast, and we got to talk a little football. It's the dead period. I texted Lou knowing that he couldn't join me today, saying, man, this stinks. We're in a period right now that not much going on in the football world. We just had the draft. We're getting close to OTAs. The taste is in their mouth, but we're still getting over the draft. We're still reminiscing about the picks, the hits and misses, getting ready to go into these off-season training activities. And just a couple notes from around the NFL. There was one, I'd say, minor transaction that happened yesterday. Darren Lee ends up going from the Jets to the Kansas City Chiefs for a sixth-round pick, if I'm not mistaken. And that is yet another linebacker that was drafted relatively high that the Chiefs have absolutely stole. They stole Reggie Ragland a couple of years ago, who is the Bills' second-round draft pick. I think they got him for a fourth or a fifth. And yeah, they're stockpiling some good draft picks. They got Frank Clark. They have a good collection of talent going on there in Kansas City. But for the something closer to home, the NFC, big name, a guy that around the trade deadline last year, we were hearing a little speculation that he might be coming to Philadelphia. Who knows how true it actually all was, but Patrick Peterson is slammed today with a 6-game suspension for performance-enhancing drugs. If you sat me down and said, if you gave me 10 cornerbacks, and Patrick Peterson was in that list, and you said which one of these 10 guys would most likely be suspended, actually not 6 games, 8 games for messing up in the PED category, I would say that Patrick Peterson fell right towards the bottom of individuals who I would believe would take PEDs. It's always the ones who you think don't use them that end up doing it. We've seen some of the greats in baseball, Barry Bonds, Mark McGwire, Alex Rodriguez. It's a little easier to see it in that regard. But the NFL, who, I'm sure there's some guys that they miss with PEDs. If you look around, there's some meatheads in the NFL that I think could get a little juiced up. And you look back at Ray Lewis with his whole deer antler thing. It's easy to get around in the NFL if you know the right things. But Patrick Peterson, unfortunately, he gets hit with that. And as we've seen with Lane Johnson, this can really deter a career. I mean, especially a player of his caliber, Patrick Peterson, you want him on the field as much as possible. It's going to be a little unfortunate for the Cardinals, who are a struggling upcoming team, to get back at it with Patrick Peterson sidelined for a little bit. But those are other teams in the NFL. We're focusing on the Philadelphia Eagles, and today we're going to continue on what we did yesterday. We were talking about power ranking the Philadelphia Eagles. In the next two segments after this brief introduction here, we're going to power rank the NFC East, and then we're just going to gradually expand from there. Lou and I will start to talk about the NFC in as a whole, where we think this Eagles team ranks up against most of the rest of the NFC. But for today, we're going to get in talking about the NFC East, the rest of the NFC East, and where the Eagles fall into this. It's a division that we haven't seen a repeat champion since the early runs of the 2000s for the Eagles. And it's, you talk about the parity of the NFL and why it's such a great sport and why people continue to make it the most highest watched American sport. It's just the parity of the league. You look around at the NBA finals or the NBA playoffs right now, you're getting the 1-2-3 seeds in there all the time. I know in the Super Bowl, you see a lot of 1 and 2 seeds. I think the Cowboys and the Saints were the only two number one seeds not to make the playoffs within the last 7 years. Emphasis on Dallas there. But in the regular season, you see parity all the time. I think the one game that makes me think of that the most is going back to 2015, that Chip Kelly Eagles team that didn't really have much going on. They ended up going into Foxborough and absolutely putting a smackdown on the New England Patriots. And nobody gave them a chance in the world. I myself didn't even give them a chance in the world. But that's the great thing about the NFL, is that on any given Sunday, They play the games for a reason. Any team can come out on top, and especially in a division like the NFC East, where these teams hate each other as much as one hates the next. Washington hates New York. New York hates Dallas. Dallas hates the Eagles. Eagles hate Dallas, vice versa. Everybody hates each other. Any game, any given Sunday, any team can win. It doesn't matter what roster they're putting out there. So I want to get into, we'll do a little lockdown paper review of the NFC East here. It's tough to really say where teams and rosters are going to lie when we get into the regular season, but now, as Howie Roseman likes to say, we're into the depths of the talent acquisition period. We're now into this second wave of free agency where free agents no longer count towards the comp pick formula. Still some big names out there. There's guys like Ndamukong Suh still on the market. Eagles go and get a guy like Zach Brown a couple weeks ago. Those are impact players that are still out there. We went through the draft. We went through the first round of free agency. There's been all sorts of trades, all sorts of hustle and bustle. So as we come on back, we will begin power ranking the paper, the rosters of the NFC East. So come on back for the second segment of this Thursday, May 16th, mind you, edition of the Lockdown Eagles podcast. Good to see you again, everybody. Welcome on back to the second segment of the Lockdown Eagles podcast. I am Gino Camilleri, as always, as I introduced myself in the first segment here. So now we're going to get to ranking the NFC East on paper. In my opinion, how I look at these rosters, how I think they're going to be able to come out and compete on Sundays, something that has been quite up and down in the NFC East as of the last couple years. We've seen the Eagles on top, we've seen Dallas on top, we've seen the Giants and Washington on top all within the last 10 years because there hasn't been a repeat champion. And fingers crossed, the Eagles can get that championship, that NFC East title under their belt again this year. I don't want to be fighting for a wild card spot come December like we did the last time around. I like 2017 a lot better when we went into Los Angeles, had a chance to lock up the division, had a chance to lock up home field advantage towards the end of November, and that's exactly where this Eagles team should be on paper. But getting started, we will go from, in my opinion, the least talented rosters to the most talented rosters in the NFC East. If you've been following any of our coverage over the last just about 10 months or 9 months since I've been with Lockdown Eagles, you know how much Lou and I together aren't the biggest fans of Dave Gettleman. We are and we aren't. We believe that we want to see the NFC East competitive. I myself love to see these games competitive. I love to see games go to overtime. Even if you win or lose, it's much better than blowing out your opponent. But, man, Dave Gettleman has really put this New York Giants roster in a tough spot. Looking at the team from last year, you had to look at what they had on paper, a couple bright spots that they still had. You had generational running back in Saquon Barkley. You had one of the top four receivers in the NFL when healthy, Odell Beckham Jr. You have a very good defensive safety in Landon Collins, who is all over the football field. Lacked a little bit in coverage, but still one of the premier safeties in the league. Olivier Vernon was a guy who they brought in to be a premier pass rusher. All those guys are gone now. It's a completely changed roster. It's an overhauled roster. They changed a lot in their secondary through the draft. They end up walking out with three cornerbacks. They picked up one in the supplementary draft last year. They go into this draft class, go into this offseason knowing they have to address the quarterback position, the most important position on the football field. Probably should have gone towards an edge rusher as well after you lose Olivier Vernon. But man, they really did not do much to help out this team. You bring in a couple names like Antoine Bethea. He's got a veteran presence that's going to help you out. Marcus Golden as well. Golden Tate is going to help you on offense, but where you needed help the most, you really did not do much. In this draft class that had a very, very, very deep class at the edge position, Eagles come out with a name they like in Sharif Miller. Giants don't get any of them. They walk out with a guy that Ben Solak says it all the time on Bleeding Green Nation, and they replaced Damian Snacks Harrison, who was one of the better 0-1 techs nose tackles in the NFL, traded him for a fifth-round pick, and in return a few months later, they go out in the first round of the NFL draft and draft the same exact player who's worse in Dexter Lawrence. It was so mind-boggling to me, and they get help, pass rush help in O'Shane Zimenez. He's a tweener. Is he an outside linebacker? Is he an edge rusher? Still think they could have found more value there, but looking at this team on paper, it's just tough to get excited about much. We really hated the signing of Nate Solder. I think they went out and paid a left tackle when they really, really needed one badly and overpaid significantly for a left tackle. It is good to bring in Zeitler in that trade from the Browns. You also bring in Jabril Peppers. That is going to help you, but I just don't get the ideology of constructing this roster. You need a free, rangy safety. You let go of Landon Collins, who's more of a box safety. And what do to replace him? You bring in Jabril Peppers, who's also majority a box safety. You get rid of Snacks Harrison, who you brought in on a big contract. You bring in Dexter Lawrence, who's the same person. You have to get rid of Eli Manning sooner or later. You draft Daniel Jones, who's a significantly underperforming and significantly unproven quarterback. It's just tough to get excited about much on this team. But you have to look at it. There are some bright spots. I think Sterling Shepard is a gem. The Eagles always have fits to covering him. They still have talent in Golden Tate. A little overpaid for my liking, but it is a good piece. They needed receiver help. Evan Engram, he's one of the better pass-catching tight ends in the league when he's healthy. I think on defense, that's where things start to fall off a bit. But they do have a lot of young talent at the cornerback position. Like I mentioned, you draft Sam Beal in the supplemental draft last year. You bring in a high pick in DeAndre Baker. You also add Julian Love, Corey Ballantyne, some names that got a lot of draft buzz. And you also have Janoris Jenkins. So there are some bright spots on this team. There's guys that are, they're fringe players right now. They're fringe starters, guys that are replacement level players, like your Alec Ogletrees, your Delvin Tomlinsons, who they're better players, but still, they can be upgraded. But all in all, I think right now, looking at this Giants team, they are going to be in the bottom third percentage of the NFL. Not much to get excited about. Offensively, I really think they're going to struggle outside of Saquon. I really see Daniel Jones not sitting for 3 years, probably getting some NFL time in the latter half of the 2019 season. We'll see what he can do, but man, Eli, he's going to be in for another rough year. When all the teams around the NFC East went out and got talent to get after the quarterback, the Giants really lacked in upgrading their offensive line as much as they should have, in my opinion. Lacked on upgrading at the quarterback position, in my opinion. At wide receiver, they downgraded. At defensive end, they downgraded. I'd say cornerback is probably one of the only positions they really had a marginal upgrade this offseason. So as much as I hate to continue to bash this New York Giants team, they're going to be toward the bottom of the NFL. And duly noted, Dave Gettleman has completely ruined this organization within the last couple years that he's been here. And if he gets a job after he leaves New York, it'll be very, very shocking, in my opinion, when guys like Joe Douglas are still not in a GM role. So, moving on to the third best team, a team that I think had one of the better off seasons. I talk about young teams with young quarterbacks. So we go back. The Eagles were one of the first teams. I won't say they were the first team, but they were one of the first teams to follow the mold of bringing in a young quarterback on that contract that's very team-friendly, bringing in a lot of weapons, and solidifying your defense with some veteran presences to allow you to compete moving forward. And I really think Washington did that this last offseason. They go out, they made a trade for Ha-Ha Clinton Dix down the stretch last year. They let him walk. What do? They upgrade and get Landon Collins. Overpaid, in my opinion, but it was a much-needed piece for that team. They lose Swearinger, he goes off to the Cardinals, but you replace him with a better safety in Landon Collins, in my opinion. In regards to the draft, I think they absolutely blew this draft out of the water. They trusted what they got in Dwayne Haskins at 15, didn't have to move up to get him, which is a plus in my mind. They're able to get Montez Sweat at 26. Haskins, they get one of his best friends in Terry McLaurin to come in there, potentially be wide receiver number one. They already add to a stacked running back room. They add Bryce Love on top of that. They continue to add at the guard and center position with Wes Martin and Ross Pierce-Bakker, two positions on the offensive line that they have question marks at. They add another big-bodied wide receiver in Calvin Harmon, a defensive end in Jordan Brailford, who caught my eye in the East-West Shrine game. And same with Jimmy Moreland, I think could end up being the steal of the seventh round, if not the steal of the draft. He offers much return help. He's very versatile at the corner position. He's a guy that can come in there and compete for a position because, I mean, if you're going to look at it right now, outside of Josh Norman, there is going to be some competition at the cornerback position for the Washington Redskins. They're sitting there right now. They have Fabian Moreau, Greg Stroman, Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie comes out of retirement. I think Jimmy Moreland is going to have all the chance in the world to compete for a job there. But outside of the secondary and outside of the young pieces they brought in the draft, I really think they have a very good base to be competitive this season. In my opinion, they still have one of the top offensive lines in football. You look at Nasecki, who ends up signing with the Bills. He was their third tackle, but got recognized as one of the better tackles in the league because he was sitting behind Trent Williams and Morgan Moses, who are, outside of Lane Johnson and Jason Peters, one of the best 1-2 combos at the bookend tackle positions in football. Brandon Scherff, I mean, looking last year to Quentin Nelson, before Quentin Nelson, it was Brandon Scherff come out of the draft. He was one of the most highly regarded guards and has proven that the last couple years. Yeah, they brought in Eric Flowers to compete for that guard position and Chase Roullier at center. Those are the two down spots, but they brought in some young talent to compete behind them, and they really have a vast amount of depth at the offensive line position. At the defensive line position, I really like what they do. They're compiling more and more Alabama players, which isn't a bad thing at all. You got guys like Jonathan Allen. You got Deron Payne. You have, well, for a time you had Clinton Dix, but he's gone now. They also added some good pieces outside of their prime spots. I mean, you still have Ryan Kerrigan. You still have Mason Foster. You still have Reuben Foster. You still have pieces on this team that are going to allow you to compete, even to Shazer Everett. This is a quality roster. I'm going to say it's still a middling roster. You still have Case Keenum quarterbacking this team, but what you have at the wide receiver position, if one of those guys can escalate their game to be productive and be the number one, which they've been so lacking for the last couple years since Pierre Garçon and DeSean Jackson left town. You still have Jordan Reed. If he could stay healthy, he's good. But then you have a whole slew of running backs who are great for a young and a mild-mannered quarterback like a Case Keenum. If Dwayne Haskins come in there, you can rely on tossing out four running backs: Adrian Peterson, Samaje Perine, Darius Geis, and then Bryce Love. If you want a collection of talent with all different skill sets, that's the Washington Redskins running back room. And I think this team, on paper, they have pieces, man. I hate to put so much emphasis on how good a team in the same division as the Eagles did in the offseason, but hats off to them. I really think what this team did, and Dan Snyder took the bull by the horns this last offseason, really made this team his own, started to build in a direction that made sense for once, and finally this Washington Redskins team is on track. I think you look at teams that are in a similar area like the New York Jets, like the Buffalo Bills, young quarterback they bring in some offensive weapons, solidify the defense. Washington could be just as good. I know they'll be better than the Jets this year, and they could be just as good as Buffalo this year. I think they're going to be sitting at around an 8-8. I know they're a very average team. They're 500 the last, 12 seasons, I think. It's something some crazy statistic like that. But Washington is on the up and up, and give them 2-3 years for this young collection of talent to grow and build together and let Dwayne Haskins be the guy. I think Washington is going to be a problem in a couple years when teams are starting to lose that top-tier talent in the NFC and in the NFC East as teams start to get older, with the New York Giants having a lot of veteran pieces, with the Eagles, they're getting up there in age at some positions, with Dallas, an older roster in some areas of the football. Washington is a very young collection of talent that, if they can grow together, solidify a culture in that room, Washington could be a force to be reckoned with for a couple years to come down the road. But right now, on paper, they are third best in the NFC East. But come on back, and we will battle it out with the heated rivalry of the Dallas Cowboys and Philadelphia Eagles to see who takes the top spot in the NFC East. ranking these teams on paper. So come on back for the last segment of this Thursday, May 16th edition of Locked On Eagles. All right, everybody, welcome on back for the final segment of this Thursday edition of Locked On Eagles podcast, as always brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network. You can check us out anywhere, lockedoneagles.com, Locked On Podcast Network. Toss it into Google. You could pull up one of the several Locked On sites. There are several great names that host Locked On podcasts all around the NFL. If you want to get insider knowledge to teams that the national media isn't going to give you, listen to the Locked On Podcast Network. There are some great hosts all around, especially in the NFC East, guys like Marcus Mosher, very, very highly regarded on Twitter, highly regarded in the football community. Some great information out there. And continuing on with the Dallas Cowboys, on paper, to me, they are the second best team in this division currently. I think they had a good collection of talent last season. I think, much like Washington, they had a very young collection of talent that Washington will have this year. Dallas, they're a little more escalated, a little more battle-torn than they were the last couple seasons. But they also made some very, very mind-boggling decisions in my mind. Bringing back Jason Witten just is very, very shocking to me. I just don't see, in a class of tight ends that is so highly regarded, and when you had a chance to get Dallas Goedert in the previous draft, you go out and get a guy who, in his last season of football before he retired and took a complete year off, really was as stagnant as a robot when he's trying to run his routes, and it's going to be much like that this year. Yes, he's going to be a good piece for Dak Prescott to rely on as you lose Cole Beasley, but it's a big head-scratching move there for me. Randy Gregory is a big hit for them being suspended once again. You lose David Irving, who was a very talented player, just couldn't put the things together. Lose Terrence Williams, you lose Jeff Swaim, you lose Marcus Martin, you lose, like I said, David Irving, Dayton Jones. There are some pieces on this team that made impacts last year, made impacts the last couple years for this Dallas Cowboys team that are going to hurt. I think Cole Beasley is going to be a very underrated piece that is going to hurt this team as he walks away, as he moves on to Buffalo. But they did make some good moves. I thought bringing in Robert Quinn for a six-round pick in 2020, being able to renegotiate his contract, getting him on that, we talk about that Chris Long, Dwight Freeney, edge rusher-esque deal. This is that kind of deal, 1 year, $8 million. Very good for them. Even though he's 29, I feel like Robert Quinn has been in the NFL forever. Just a name that's been around, very consistent. You got other guys that in there. You brought in some good talent in the draft. I think bringing in Randall Cobb is a good piece to replace your Cole Beasley. I think Chris Covington gives you another rotational depth piece at the defensive tackle position. Tristan Hill is another piece you could toss in there. The two Miami guys that they drafted in the middle of the draft, the Jackson brothers, very good pieces. I think Ezekiel Elliott, we know what he is. You have Amari Cooper, who's just came out of his shell last season with Dallas. Hats off to them for making that acquisition in a class that in the first round, they probably wouldn't have been able to get a good wide receiver that would have matched the caliber of Amari Cooper. So hats off to them. Hats off for making that move. That was a ballsy move to make. And the Jones family, they went out and did it. And hats off to them. How they're going to pay them all, I don't know. Coming off the heels of paying DeMarcus Lawrence, you're going to have to pay Amari Cooper. You're going to have to pay Dak Prescott. As we talked about, we want to see Carson Wentz get his deal before Dak. So Carson resets the market and not Dak, because we don't want it to be vice versa. I think Dak is probably going to get north of $30 million, which will be tough for them to stomach. But like I said, they have a lot of young talent all around the football. They bring in Connor Williams last year on the offensive line. You bring in Michael Gallup, a very young piece that you could bring in to be your wide receiver too. On the defensive side of the football, you have good pieces in LVE, Byron Jones, Xavier Woods, Jeff Heath, Chido Awuzie, Anthony Brown. All of those guys gave Eagles receivers fits last season. A very good cornerback group, a very good safety group. I think Byron Jones is one of the most underrated and talked about secondary players in the NFL. I think if this team stays healthy, which they had a very good benefit of having last year, you could see what they can do. I don't put them ahead of Philadelphia. I think Philadelphia has a more complete and depth-filled roster, but on paper, Dallas has a top 12 roster in the NFL, in my opinion. A lot of continuity. They didn't lose too many pieces in the offseason. I think when it comes to it, they're going to be competitive. I think we end up splitting the series with Dallas as we do most years. But they're going to be a team that's going to be competing for one of those top six seeds in the playoffs. They're going to be around in the NFC for a while. It'll be interesting to see what they do with Zeke after this season. But right now, you have a very good collection of offensive players, a very good collection of defensive players. But not enough to trump our Philadelphia Eagles. I'm not being biased. I'm just being true. We talked about it yesterday and how much we glamored over this, Lou and I. How much NFL pundits have glamored over this, not just in the Philadelphia media, but draft analysts, ESPN, NFL Network, talk about it wherever you want. They recognize the talent that this Eagles team has, and we talked about it before we went into this talent acquisition season of what were the big holes for this Eagles team. Depth at the offensive line, depth at the defensive line, linebacker, and maybe you can bring in a young safety. They addressed everything else on there besides bringing in a young safety. But the luxury is they bring in Andrew Sandejo, who has playoff minutes. He has playoff experience. And he's going to be your third guy behind Malcolm Jenkins, an all-pro, and behind Ronnie McLeod, who has put together some exceptional seasons. So right now, you look at the collection of what they have on offense. We're not going to name it again what they have at quarterback. Running back room is improved from last year. Your wide receiver room, as crazy as the sound, is improved over the last 2 years. You have DeSean Jackson, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside now. Increased collection of talent all around the football to stud tight ends. Depth galore at the offensive line. Depth galore at the defensive line position. You're going to be tested against your cornerbacks, but a great thing is you're not going to rely on them too much to make tackles because you brought in a guy at the linebacker position in Zach Brown who's going to tackle those guys in the intermediate areas. I think all in all, this Eagles team has everything it takes to compete for the NFC East crown, the NFC crown, and the crown of Super Bowl champions once again. So with that, I'm not going to keep you any longer. You could go back to yesterday's show, and we talked about in-depth this Eagles roster. But to wrap things up, we ranked the Giants on paper as the worst team in the NFC. Above them by a fair amount, Washington, who has a very good collection of young talent, who I think is going to be a force come the next few years in the NFL. Probably 9-7, 8-8 this upcoming season, if I had to say. Dallas is going to be a very competitive team. And the Eagles, man, they're going to fly high, as always. So thank you for joining me, Gino Camilleri, once again on this Thursday edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Keep an eye out. We're going to have some merch dropping soon. It's very cool. I had my best friend's brother, shout out to Austin Pelosi, very sick graphic designer. I'll give him a shout out on Instagram next time I hop on here. Put out a great design for us. We're going to start printing shirts. We're going to start printing notebook, everything. We're going to go through TeePublic, so keep a lookout for that soon. Support what we do, guys. We're going to try and put out some stuff and give the Eagles fans what they want because I want to get some sick Eagles gear. I know you guys do too, so we want to give you what you want. And thank you, as always, for joining me. You can find me on Twitter at Gino_LOE. Find Lou at DiBiase_LOE. Find us on the mothership at LockedOnBirds on Twitter, at LockedOnEagles.com. Lou's always putting out written content. He is great with that. We're doing these podcasts all the time. Leave some 5-star reviews. Leave some 1-star reviews. Whatever you think. Whatever. Just judge us how we are. Judge us. Be real. If you don't like what we're doing, give us some suggestions. If you love what we're doing, give us some questions. We always love feedback. Hopefully we can get into training camp, give you guys some sick insight when it comes to the summertime. Hopefully we could get out to Philadelphia, meet some of our fans. You guys want to join us when we go to the game on October 27th in Buffalo. Be sick to meet a bunch of you guys. But just wanted to give a quick shout out to everybody. Thank you for your continued support. These last 10 months have flown by. I can't believe we're almost coming up on a year since I've joined the show. Lou has been doing his thing ever since then too, but thank you guys. Just another day in the life of a Philadelphia Eagles fan. It's always great being the 2017 Super Bowl champion. So as always, I'll leave you with this. Fly, Eagles, fly.